Sorry, I'm Lainey, am I giving the 5 minute warning?
Yeah, it's a 20-minute, yes, 20-minute share. Give her a 5-minute warning. Thank you. So our speaker today is CJ. And CJ, you're okay being recorded?
Sure. Yep.
All right. So CJ is going to share today with some part of the first half of More About Alcoholism, which is on pages 30 through 37 in the big book. Thank you. Take it
Yay.
away.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Lonnie, and thanks for your beautiful service. Also, I know she can't be here today, but I want to thank Judith for asking me. She's a dear. And so many of the faces here today. Some new friends, some I know pretty well, and been around hanging around here in these rooms for a while now. And it's good to be with everyone. It's good to know that I'm not alone, and it's good to know that these rooms, they just keep on rocking. And I'm really grateful for that, because if I'm left on my own, this chapter starts to go backwards. I start to know less about whatever it is I, because that's my disease, always trying to tell me that you're not powerless anymore. You got this thing. You can do it another way. And I'll just share a little bit of my stats. I've been in the 12-step room since 2007. I came in for both alcohol and food at the same time. By the grace of God, I got sober right away, but I didn't get abstinent right away. Now, that one happened on January 20th of 2020, and it's been a journey, I tell you. And this more about alcoholism has been, wow, a deepening understanding as I go. And every time I either go through the work myself, or I have an opportunity to share about it, or I take somebody else through the work, I really come into it, this chapter, trying to say, well, am I or am I not? You know, I know there's a solution. Yeah, I kind of relate with the problem, but let's get down to real let's get down to real brass tacks here. And do I really have this? And it starts off by saying, well, there's really just two simple questions you can ask. And that's what I love so much about the BBA, is that we turn these statements into questions, right? And it says, do I have that idea that someday, somehow, I will control and enjoy my drinking, my eating, my shopping, whatever, you know, my controlling people, my figuring it out? Yeah. I just know that I have countless vain attempts to try to not be who I am. And that goes for eating and for years of drinking, and even working my program and working my life in general, you know, thinking somehow I've got this, somehow I'm in control. And boy, I tell you, want to talk about creating my own misery, you know. And all of these ideas, little by slowly, this great infinite power and love has taken this ever so velvety ha hammer to my delusions and my illusions. And I don't know how it is I get to be here with you guys, but somehow I'm here. And that hammer just so very gently taps on all of my ideas and all of my brokenness, and sometimes maybe a little harder in spots than others. And that glass bubble of mine starts to disintegrate, you know. And I start to see, as I listen to you and I read this word, that I have lost all power, choice, and control. And that took years. Because I thought, well, I'm not so bad. I have a job. I have a family. I have, you know, blah, 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 the whole thing. And the truth is, that's not what it's talking about, you know. For me, it really comes down to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm sober and abstinent, because I'm still in this old idea that I have any power, choice, and control. My demands, entitlements, and expectations just run the show. And I don't, it took me a long time to believe that I was in a class, I was in that class, that I have no right to demands, entitlements, and expectations. What are you talking about? Demand, of course I should be treated right. I should be treated. I should. And that was the thing that was buried deep inside of me that was running the self-pity, the martyr, and all of those, I'm not good enough, I'm not like you, the comparing. Oh, and it just, I would have all ideas about how you don't like me and they don't like me. And I just ran on this idea that in my head I could control all this stuff, and it manifested in food, alcohol, and other things. Especially this speaks to my Al-Anon and again my ACA stuff, which I've been working on, and it's really enlightening to finally start to come to a place after all these years to be able to say, I don't have to have power, choice, or control. I really don't. It all tends to be rather a myth. And because I tried all these things on page 31 as a food addict, I tried them as an alcoholic. I've even tried them with people, saying no to people, rejecting people, controlling where I go and when I go and who's there and how, and instead of just letting life be life and staying within my own, like within my own self and being okay here, I had to have everything out here fixed. And it took me years to be able to diagnose that, like it says on the bottom of 31, because that's the real problem. I could say I was a compulsive eater, alcoholic, pretty quickly, But this Al-Anon, this whole relationship, this, and it's really the relationship within myself and God, and then it's God and other people, God, me, and other people. So it's really God and me. And that relationship, I had it backwards. And my ego for a long time was telling me, oh no, I let God be in charge. The truth is, I don't. I still want to get in there and run the show. So from all of this, I can absolutely say once I start, I have no control. Once and sometimes I really have no power, and that switch gets flipped, and I turn around and go, "What did I just say and do? Who was that?" There really is a part of me that can turn on real quick. And it's interesting today that I see that and that I don't need to pick up a drink over it, that I can turn on my heels, pause, do what our book says, go to God and say, wow, there I was, holy cow. And stop, pause, turn. Ask for the power to do something different, help me with the fear, help me with the control, whatever I'm noticing at the moment, and realize that myself and other people, right? The other thing I come to find is this isn't just about me. Other people react the same way, even if they're not alcoholics or they're not addicts, they still have that human reaction to life. I mean, all humans do it. At some point, some are a whole lot better at not doing it. I'm not one of them. It is better than it used to be, but it is that idea that I'm never going to have the control. So I better have the solution so that when these things crop up, when these things show up, I don't need to commence to drink. I don't need to commence to eat. I don't need to commence to still ruminate in my head about how you did to me, what you shouldn't have done to me, and it should have looked like that, and no one should ever do that. And the truth is, it just is. It just is. I don't have to separate myself anymore. Not saying I don't. But even if I notice I am, I don't need to separate. I don't need to become isolated. I don't need to run. Sometimes I need to pull away and be quiet. Sometimes I need to separate from things because my higher power is telling me to. I need to step away and slow down and, get quiet. But the truth is, this is never going to be fixed, and that's okay. I'm never going to not be CJ, alcoholic, addict, whatever that is. I've come even to the place that why questions? They can be valuable, but I really need to make sure for myself anyway, everyone, that it's more of a how question today. The why question comes up. I need to pause on that and go to my higher power and say, well, how can I? What might this look like if? And give myself space to let go of those old ideas. And so I have no more reservation of any kind, right? No reservation on 33, it says. No lurking notion that I am someday going to be immune to this thing. This 12-step program, this way of life, that's really what it's become today. It's like it's my second skin. It's my approach to life. And it's something I've had to rewire and learn and still am and will be until they put that first scoop of dirt on my face, I'm sure. I mean, it's just a journey I don't want to miss today because I can still look back and see where I was and where I get to be today and all that's happened and I've gone through, and that this great love, somehow, this great infinite power and love has brought me to a place where it's just okay. There's a wonderful, there's a wonderful spiritual guide. And he talks about that I really love listening to. And he talks about Julian of Norwich. And I've kind of gotten into some of her writing, and it's a little tricky at first, but her known statement is all is well, and all is well, and all manner of things shall be well. And you meditate on that, and it'll blow your mind. Because that peculiar mental twist for me means I'm going to get up in here in the head and I'm going to start figuring it out. And it's all about, that delusion that you should be different or I should be different or the situation should be different. And the truth is, that for me is the biggest part of my first step in a lot of ways is realizing that's my insanity, right? The one leading me into two. It's like, whoa. And I can be sober. I can be abstinent. I can follow a food plan. I can be a good girl. I can do all kinds of things on my own, but not for very long. And towards the end of my drinking career, I couldn't at all. Towards the end of my eating, couldn't at all. Couldn't. I couldn't do it at all, not even for a few minutes. I mean, it was ungodly painful. So I couldn't leave it alone. I am the real deal. And every time I try to go through the work with somebody else, or I go through it myself, I make an attempt to sit back and let my higher power show me if that's still really true. Because like I said earlier, my disease is always telling me, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're fine. So I'm not. I every time I go through the work, and there's the beauty of that 12th step, which for me is really it's step one through 11. Working 12 always brings me back to these pages, always brings me back to that idea that I've tried all this stuff. I've worked, I don't want to be in charge anymore. I don't want to have any power, choice, or control. I really don't. I want to go to God because I, as we walk through this process and we're looking at God being everything or God being nothing, and the real truth, when I get down to the real nitty-gritty that, I've tried all of these things to not drink, to not eat, and they just never worked. But this God idea thing works. This going to God first works. This using the tools of our program that we learn through BBA always bring me back to that step
That's
two,
five
to a place
minutes.
of sanity. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Kathy. I suffered with this. I suffered with this for years. Suffered. And I want to bring some hope in this that BBA really has encouraged me to enlarge my spiritual life, constantly does. It doesn't mean that I've walked away from my food fellowship or anything else. I'm still in there. But I have a relationship with my higher power. And I, one day at a time, let that higher power show me. And if I need to change something, it'll change. But as of today, path that I'm on is, it seems to be really well lit. It is guiding me to a place of peace, serenity, and sanity that I cannot even believe. I've also been led into some ACA work, which is, again, that's blowing my mind. And the connection between me and God does get better one day at a time. And I don't have to, I don't have to say that I'm mentally healthy. I'm not. I can't do it. I can't. So I gotta depend on this great love, and ask for the power. I can't leave food alone. That's truth because I have to eat. So in that particular area of my life, I've been given very clear guidance, some very clear instruction on how to walk through my days with peace and serenity and to love food because it should be loved. Food should be a joy, not a punitive, punishing, I don't want to be neutral around what I eat. I want to have joy around what I eat. I want to be neutral around all the stuff I don't want. I want to be neutral around alcohol. Honestly, only on rare occasions have I, ever gotten kind of that, well, that looks really good. Well, I've seen some a TV movie or somebody in a restaurant or something. Meh. That one has, I really thank God for that. The food took a lot longer. I really had to come to a severe bottom with that. And I come from really big numbers, so it's been an issue my whole life. Alcohol too. I mean, I can remember as a kid standing in front of my parents' cabinet, and both of my mom and dad, they drank a little wine on Christmas. That was it. Other than that, it never got touched. People would give them bottles. It would get put under our little thing in the dining room called a dry sink. And I can remember being like 9, 10 years old, open the room. What are they going to drink that? I'd drink that, closing it up. I never did open them myself until I got to be about 14, and then it was on, So, and the eating, I had a place in my life that I thought I needed. I was afraid to go into. So, and the drinking and the eating and the people pleasing and the whatever has really, it's had to get taken into the light. And the Big Book Awakening process has really helped me to see as I read through this, yeah, my mental state absolutely is the crux of my problem. So what am I going to do? I can't control that either. I need to pray that prayer. God, please, in the morning, please, please control my thinking, that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Help my motives to be pure and honest and loving. And I can't do this on my own. I just can't. So how I enlarge my spiritual life, I touch the three sides of the triangle. That's what we were told to do. When I'm irritated, restless, discontented, thinking I can run the show, when I can sense that ego today, but it takes a lot of desire to no longer be in control in order to even see that I'm starting to do it. I don't know if that sentence made any sense, but this really is a process. And for me, BBA has really brought me to that next level and continues to be the catalyst where all of my other spiritual work blossoms because of it. So if you're here and you're new, if you're in the work, we just encourage you, please don't leave before your miracle happens. Please, please stick with it. Do the best you can and know that whoever you have working with you or what, however the process, it does really work. We just have to stick with it. And so I don't know if that made any sense. It says, the ability to think the ability to think straight. I don't know if I really have that or not. I think some days maybe I do, but it's if I do, I just have to raise my hands to my higher power and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you give me every day. Not take myself quite so seriously and know that no matter what happens, as it says on page 100, no matter what your present circumstances, no matter what your present circumstances, this God's got you and you're in the right place and you're not here by accident and we're here to help. And I appreciate all of you for all your help. And again, Lonnie, Kathy, everybody, thanks so much. And I'm done.